Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, September 11th, 2018. And with me today from the MacCast, Adam Christensen. How are you?
I'm good. Just finishing a sip of coffee. So I did that just in time.
Excellent timing. And
I thought you were going to go to Andrew first.
You know, the funny thing is I was, and right as I opened my mouth to start talking, I switched it to you. So it was equally surprising to me. Speaking of Andrew Orr, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Cool. Yeah, you had plenty of time to finish sipping whatever you're sipping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is Jamf Now, which is awesome. And we just need to jump right into topics because Apple has their Gather Round media event happening tomorrow, Wednesday, September 12th, which means that because of the timing, this is when we get to see what the new iPhones are going to be. And my expectation is that we can do pre-orders this Friday the 14th, and they will deliver a week later on Friday, September 21st.
Right.
So, yeah, so we're getting really close to having whatever the new iPhones are in hand. We'll probably also see the new Apple Watches because it's about time for that. And of course, there were leaks straight from Apple earlier showing the new Apple Watch interfaces. And you know, we may get other things too.
iPad
Pros. Pro.
Mm-hmm. We're expecting updates to that. Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe some accessories.
Maybe the wireless charging AirPods case. Maybe the AirPower wireless charging pad. I doubt that Apple will use the event tomorrow to introduce this rumored new entry-level MacBook.
Right. Yeah, there's a few Mac products that are rumored to be getting some updates, Mac Mini as well, but we're not expecting. This is typically and historically an all iOS event. The only Mac thing that may creep in is Mojave in terms of an actual release date.
Right. Yes, I expect we will see the iOS 12 release date announced. And here's my prediction. iOS 12 is going to be released to the public on Wednesday, September 19th. So
seems reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be two days before the new iPhones ship. So, yeah. That brings up the big question. Assuming we are getting iPhones, that seems pretty much assured, and new Apple Watches, also pretty much assured. Are you guys planning to upgrade to the new models?
Yeah. I think this is what a little bit of the genesis for our conversation, right? As I was saying in our meeting, I have owned every iPhone since the very first one. Mm-hmm. Actually, I wasn't going to buy the first one, and there's a long story behind that. But I ended up getting the first one. And looking at this year's, I know I have an iPhone 10 that I bought last year, and looking at this year's rumors at this point, unless something really drastically changes tomorrow and they blow me away with some feature we haven't heard about, I'm feeling like I spent a lot of money on this iPhone 10, and I don't like the large form factor. I tried it out with a 6S Plus, I think.
Mm-hmm. I learned that
I was not a large phone person, which was my suspicion going in. I did a year with one. And so looking at the update to the iPhone 10, what is rumored to be called the iPhone 10S at the 5.8 inch size, I don't think there's enough in there for me this time around to really justify outlaying what essentially is another $1,000 when all is said and done with Apple Care and everything. Mm-hmm. on the update. Beyond processor and GPU, I guess, for that model, at least, there doesn't seem like there's a lot happening, right? We're not hearing about massively improved cameras. I'm suspecting maybe that there could be improvements to the TrueDepth camera system, but that hasn't even really been rumored that much. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of feeling like my iPhone 10 is really great. I like it for a lot of reasons. I'm not a huge Face ID fan yet. It hasn't totally won me over. So I guess it's a weird feeling because this time around, I'm excited about all the updates and what Apple's announcing tomorrow. Nothing wrong with that. I think there's going to be some great updates for a lot of people. But for me in my position, I'm feeling like, meh, you know, it's just not that compelling. Again, put against the cost, you know, I think Apple's decision to raise the price point on the premium iPhones is having a little bit of effect on me this time around. And I'm finding for what I'm calling, I term myself a serial upgrader. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us are in that same position this time around where the technology's gotten so good. The operating system is got a lot of the improvements are in the software this year. And there just doesn't seem a lot of hardware reasons to, you know, outlay that amount of cash again a year later.
Yeah, I get it. I will be upgrading to the new iPhone, probably the 5.8-inch model, because I'm not a big screen person. And we've really pushed beyond my envelope for what I consider a comfortable screen size anyhow.
Right.
But I'm doing AT&T's annual upgrade plan.
Right.
So,
and I should caveat too that I have always been a purchase my, or for the many years of my iPhone ownership, I've been a purchase outright upfront payment person. And a lot of people question me on that. The thing people need to understand is that in my household, we hand down the phones. So, yeah, I mean, I could go on a month to month payment plan and then just pay it off and then keep it and hand it down. But there's really, to me, not much of a difference between paying over time at no interest versus paying all up front. I figure if you have the cash to spend, you're going to spend it one way or the other. So mm-hmm. six of one, half a dozen of the other. It's not about the money. It's about the main reason I would be buying an iPhone is so I can talk about it on my podcast because it's part of my job. And I want to talk about all the new improved features and things like that. And again, I don't know that there's a whole lot to talk about. Like if it's just a faster processor, it's like, oh yeah, it runs a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. It's got maybe a little bit more storage, but those aren't compelling things to have conversations about. I'm not going to get a ton of questions about, you know, is it 10% faster launching apps? If it right. had, you know, like brand new cameras or a more wide angle lens or, you know, so again,
holographic
I'm tempering
display.
That with depending upon what they tell us tomorrow. You know, maybe they come out and say, look at all these great improvements we made to the camera system, or, you know, it's a new innovative OLED display with wider gamma, you know, which I don't even think I think they've almost technically reached the limits of what they can do there. So, you know, it's just, again, it feels very incremental in ways that aren't going to be significant enough to justify the cost for me.
Yeah, I totally get it. All right, Andrew, how yeah. about you?
If I could afford it, I'd love to upgrade because I'm still on my iPhone 7 Plus. Like, it's still in good condition.
And honestly, the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus, those are really good phones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, to that end, Andrew, you know, I would argue I've received the same thing. So I threw this out to my community and asked about this on my show. And what I've generally found is that a lot more people are excited about Apple Watch and what's happening there, especially people on who are still rocking like a Series Zero. I heard from a lot of people that still have a Series Zero, still love it. What's pushing them this year seems to be the fact that Watch OS 5 is not going to support the Series Zero. And that's interesting because it also plays into the iPhones, because I also heard on the iPhone side from a lot of people who are rocking a 6S, a 7, you know, an 8, whatever it might be, but more specifically on that lower end, the 6S, and going, you know, iOS 12 is going to have performance improvements for those older models. They're going to run better. So mm-hmm. Apple's becoming a little bit of a victim of its own backwards compatibility, which I think is great for users. You know, what it does for Apple's bottom line and how investors feel about it, you know, come numbers time is going to be interesting. But even there, we're hearing, because there are a lot of people that are maybe two generations back or three generations back with their iPhone, it's still expected to be almost like a mini super cycle this time around. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are upgrading. And I heard from a lot of people who are on a 6S or a 7 saying, yeah, I want all those new features. I want the better camera system. You know, so for them, it's a big jump. But for those, there's also a lot of people in that camp where it's like, yeah, it's a lot of money to spend. iOS 12 is going to bring a lot of improvements and a lot of new features on the software side for my older device. And maybe I don't, maybe I can go another year. And I think that's great all the way around, especially for users to have that option. And so I did hear from a lot of people like, I have a 6S, I have a 7, I'm going to stick with it another year.
Yeah, I mean, I keep my phones in pretty good condition, and I can see, I mean, I'm sure I could get another 2 to 3 years out of this. And I mean, yeah. I'm fine with that. I'm not really, like, it'd be nice to upgrade, but I'm not, you know, jonesing at the bed or whatever to upgrade.
The other thing that I'm hearing people do, which is another great thing, is if you do own your older phone and have kept it in good condition, they have massive resale value. So for people who are like, I want to upgrade, I'm going to actually sell my old one and, you know, subsidize 50-60% of the cost of the new one, you know, with my old phone, which is kind of cool too.
That is, you know? Very cool. Yeah.
And easily doable. I mean, those older phones are still very, very valuable. Again, I think because the software, you can run the latest software and it will actually get faster with the latest software. And plus with Apple's battery program, if you went in and paid the $29 and had a new battery put in, you basically got a new phone in a lot of ways, you know, because it's the battery that wears out most frequently. And if you've kept the screen and the case in good shape, that's still a very viable device. So,
yep.
You know, all these factors are coming together to, you know, play into this thing where I think we're getting to the point where even, again, people who are serial upgraders, people who want to be on the cutting edge of technology, I think the smartphones and the iPhone specifically have developed to the point where it's so mature that there's not a lot of hardware reasons to justify upgrades, even for people who are like, I've owned everyone and I want to have everyone, you know, as much as I want a new iPhone. That's not to say I don't want to buy one on Friday, but being the practical side of me says, I really am having a hard time resolving that to myself to say, yeah, I'm going to spend another. And again, I don't care if you're spending it up front or over 12 months, you're spending, you know, you're spending $1,000 on something here.
Yeah.
And to justify that for a small incremental improvement in performance, I'm finding very hard to swallow. You know, again, I could change tomorrow. This could be a totally different conversation if you call me up tomorrow. It may be totally a flip flop. But as we sit here, you know what? I don't know how many hours before the event. It's 14 hours, maybe.
Yeah, probably. Right? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I'm feeling like, yeah, this may be my first year where I skip an iPhone upgrade. And that's a weird, I have ambivalence about that, but I think ultimately it's probably the right choice.
Okay, so you mentioned Apple Watch. I want to talk about that too.
Yeah.
But first, I want to talk about our sponsor, which is Jamf Now. So if you have more than one device, meaning more than one iOS device, and you know, say a Mac, more than one Mac. So you have all of this Apple gear, and you need to keep track of it for yourself or for your business. Jamf Now is the way to go because it's this really easy to learn and easy to use web interface for cataloging all your devices, keeping track of operating system version numbers, keeping track of serial numbers, keeping track of device settings, email settings, and even keeping track of the apps that are installed. And it's just so crazy simple to use. So if you have, say, a smaller mid-sized business, you have a bunch of employees running around with company iPhones and iPads and Macs, this is just an indispensable tool for keeping all of those devices under control. I love that they added the ability to send custom apps out to Macs and iOS devices. So if you have your own internal app set that you're using, you can use Jamf Now to deliver those. And you need to reset someone's email settings, no problem. You can just push them right out. And like I said, easy to do. So here's the deal. You can go and sign up for a free account. And you do that at jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO. And when you do that, not only are you signing up for a free account, but you're also getting to include three devices for free forever on your account. And if you need more devices, no problem. $2 per device per month. So it scales up easily without breaking the bank. So jamf.com/TDO, jamf.com/TDO. Get your free account and up to three devices for free on that account forever. And thank you, Jamf, now for being our sponsor. Okay, Adam, so on Apple Watch, are you more inclined to update to, say, a new Apple Watch?
I am intrigued by the cellular data features. Absolutely. And I did skip Apple Watch 3. I have a Series 2, the stainless, that I love immensely. And I've been using it more frequently because I'm trying to get healthier, and that's been a huge benefit to me. I never go anywhere without my iPhone, but the thought of autonomy is very interesting to me, to have opportunities. I don't know when I would, though. So that's kind of the weird thing. So even there, again, it comes down to, in a lot of ways, managing finances and managing, you know, outlays of cash and stuff like that. You know, I also feel the same way about the iPads. You know, I'd love a new iPad Pro, specifically a 9, probably the, well, what's going to be, I think they're rumoring it to be the 11 inch, the update to the 10.5 inch. I have a 12.9 inch iPad Pro that I absolutely love and adore, and I use very frequently, almost as a notebook replacement. You know, I probably spend, mobile wise, more time on my iPad Pro than I do on my MacBook Pro, just because usually what I'm doing is research and notes and things like that, where I don't need the full power of my MacBook Pro. And so I'd love a new iPad as well. But again, all of my gear that I have currently is not insufficient, if that makes sense. Like it, everything, I can't find a task where I go, oh, if I just had an Apple Watch, you know, 4, this problem would be solved. Or if I just had a new iPad Pro, this problem would be solved. The iPad Pro is probably the closest because its portability. I mean, the 12.9 is pretty large, and with the new reduced bezels and all that, it's expected, even though they're going to have slightly larger screens, the new ones are going to be actually more compact. So again, a lot's going to be coming down to what do I see? But yeah, I would love a new Apple Watch. I mean, the exciting thing about the Apple Watch is the bigger screen real estate. And I think, again, being someone who didn't upgrade last year to a Series 3, having the option to have cellular data as something that I could buy into at some point, that's intriguing to me. And I like the idea of it. So that's a case, again, where features are. But it comes back to this conversation. I think what I'm getting to is, for especially iOS devices, Apple Watch, maybe even Apple TV, I think that upgrade cycle for more and more people is slowing down. And how Apple manages that and deals with that, I think, is going to be very interesting. And we've started to see some of it already, right? We started to see, and I think how long they're going between announcements is an indication of that, although I think we're still on that kind of yearly announcement cycle for iOS. But will that continue? I don't know. I think they will continue to do yearly upgrades, but I think it is going to be more and more this tick-tock cycle or tick-tick-tock cycle where incremental, big update. And I think naturally people upgrading are going to start to fall into these cycles. And I think Apple's ready for that. And I think it's something they're actually planning for.
Which would be smart. And Apple tends to plan ahead, and they know exactly how people are buying their products. So yeah, it makes sense. They would be planning based on or including our buying cycle as part of their development cycle.
Yeah. Right. Well, and I think it's almost I think it's almost the other way around. I think they're forcing people into a buying cycle with their update cycles, with how they're going to start revving products and stuff like that. And I think the raising of the price points too last year was a deliberate attempt to do some compensation for that, knowing that we'll get people to pay a little bit more upfront for their device, but they're probably going to hold on to it longer. So, you know, we're going to have to sort of extend that out right? In terms of the bottom line, in terms of the, you know, the quarterly numbers and stuff like that. So I think all of these things are factoring in. I think it's also why there's this concerted effort to bump up services and services growth too around those devices that they're already, you know, they already have in people's hands and pockets and on their desktops, is that supplements and allows that cycle extension to transition to go more smoothly as well.
Okay, we are pretty much out of time, but Andrew, before we go, I was curious, would you be interested in the new Apple Watch or a new iPad if they are announced tomorrow?
A new Apple Watch might be possible, because I think it was last year or maybe the year before, I bought a Series 2, and I had it for a while, but then I got rid of it because I didn't think I used it to its full advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, similar to Adam, this year I've been doing more fitness. So I am, depending on, you know, what Apple reveals, you know, it's possible I might get a new one.
All right. Well, I have a feeling that if we were having this same discussion tomorrow after the keynote, that it has the potential to be a different conversation from what we're having today.
It definitely would be. I'll go out on a limb and say absolutely. Because we never know what Apple's... I mean, as much as we think we know what Apple's going to do, there's always going to be little nuances, right? And there's also always the halo effect. Like, I may get caught up in some of the excitement, and I have to try very hard sometimes to temper that, right?
So. Yeah, I totally get it.
Or you risk, you know, like not having enough money to pay the electric bill next month.
Right, which does not go over well, not only with the power company, but also with the family.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we are out of time. We do need to wrap up. Listeners, tomorrow's show will be later, and that's because we're not going to record until after Apple finishes up their keynote, so we can give you our first reactions to everything that gets announced. So so just watch for tomorrow's show a little bit later, and we will also be doing live coverage of the event. So be sure and check in with MacObserver.com on Wednesday morning so that you can stay on top of Apple's announcements. The keynote starts at 10 a.m. Pacific time. So we will be ready to go, and we'll keep you up to date on what's happening. Adam, thank you for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I very much appreciate the opportunity to talk about this.
It was a fun discussion, so I'm glad you had the time to be on. Andrew, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here, and it's always great to get your perspective. It's also great that Jamf now is our sponsor today. Head over to their website, jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account and get 3 devices for free forever at only $2 per device per month after that. And listeners, I am so glad that you were here. Thank you for joining us. We will see you after the keynote on Wednesday. So thanks for listening.